Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Thank you we can gather to look into your word and just thank you for your goodness. I pray, God, you just open our eyes and really speak to us, and we could appreciate the great value it is to have the Bible, what great value it is to have you be able to speak to us through it. And so I pray you just open each heart to receive what's said this morning. I pray you just anoint me with the Spirit, and I just say things of the Spirit, Lord. And so we just look forward to what you're going to do. And again, we give thanks to you, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Where in Luke, where we have been for over a year. Oh, my goodness gracious. So we've been going through Luke, and right now we'll be looking at Luke 24. There are just 24 chapters in Luke. Okay, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 47. And so as we've gone through Luke, Luke starts his letter off by saying, I'm doing an investigative account of what happened. And he traveled with the Apostle Paul. And so we've taken Jesus from his birth and all the way up to this point. You have the crucifixion and the resurrection. And so all that information, we spent a year on it. And this is Jesus has come to the end of his physical life. And now he is resurrected. He is resurrected. So this is where we are right now. I encourage everyone to read chapter 24 of Luke. Okay? It's not hard to read. Just read through it. It's incredible to look at how this ends up here. So the picture is we have the resurrected Christ, and the disciples, as we talked about before, they didn't think this was going to happen. They thought he was dead and gone, all right? And so they were locked up in a room, and so they thought, you know, everything we thought was going to happen, it's over, so it's over. And Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, appears to them. He appears to them. And just imagine. He appeared. You saw him crucified. You're in this room, locked up, and says, we're done. You know, we're toast. Okay? That's what it was. And Jesus appears to them. What do you think Jesus would say to them? Just think. Well, this is what he said to them. Now, you read a little before this. We won't go over it. He said, you know, I'm hungry. I'd like something to eat. So you can read that. But here's what he says to them. And I think it's very important just to pay close attention, because evidently Jesus thinks this is very, very important. Resurrected Christ. And he speaks to the disciples. And this is what he says in Luke 24, 44 through 47. It says, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Now, what he said there, everything written in the Old Testament, he just broke it out, the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Everything said about me must be fulfilled. So he covered the whole Bible, said the whole Bible was speaking about him, and it must be fulfilled. So he's standing there as a resurrected Christ and saying, all this had to be fulfilled. All this happened. It wasn't an accident. So that's the first thing he tells them. All this must have happened. Everything that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalm, must be fulfilled. In verse 44, it's fascinating. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, what do you do? He opened their minds. To do what? Oh, wow, you're the Messiah. Wow, we'll follow you. What? No, he says, look at the scriptures. That's what Jesus said. You know, I say, I meet with Jesus. What did Jesus say to me? He said, look at the scriptures, and I'm going to open your mind that you can read these. So look at how he is exalting the Old Testament. Then he said to them, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written, where is it written? In the scriptures, in the Old Testament. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance, a turning, a repentance for the forgiveness of sins, should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. See, the Jews and his disciples, he's going to come back, he's going to make... Israel, great nations, we're going to conquer the world and we'll get rid of the Romans. And he goes, no, all this had to happen because you're going to proclaim the forgiveness of sins to the world. That's the job. That's what it says in the Old Testament. And they're going, really? See, he's telling them something. He says, it's in, and where is it? It is in the Scriptures, which is the Old Testament. See, he's saying this Old Testament, now if you read it correctly, it talks about me, and it talks about speaking and sharing the forgiveness of sins through the world. It's not just here. So that's the idea. So this is what we're looking at. This is what he said. Now, what I want to just touch on, I think, is believers, as Christians, the Scriptures are paramount to every Christian. Or they should be, just paramount to every Christian is the Scriptures, all right? The world attacks the Scriptures, and that's fine, all right? Because it wasn't written in the world, it's written to us, okay? So the Scriptures are paramount to every Christian. The Bible is the very words of God. That's the reason Jesus said, the Scripture said, I had to fulfill what the Scripture said. And so the Bible is the very word of God, and with the Bible, we have the mind of God. Have you ever thought, I just wonder what God did. I wonder what he wants me. I wonder what Jesus did. We have the mind of God. It's in the Scriptures. And so we see, as believers, we know that the Bible is alive, okay, and powerful. That's what we know as Christians. It's alive and powerful. Something's going on with the Bible. And it's going on with believers who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So we know it's alive and powerful. And so we know, and that's the reason Jesus said when he came, he talked to him. It was what was in the Scriptures. He makes an incredible point about that. Now, historically, and I just want to just touch on some things here. Historically, and it really is just kind of superficial because there's so much more depth to it. But historically, the Bible is the most documented ancient book in the world. It's the most documented ancient book there is. And most other ancient books have just a few copies. There's just a few copies. And the copies we have of those ancient books are like way removed from the actual event. They're way removed, okay? We just have a few and they're way removed. Here's a typical situation. You'll just love this. You'll take it. I'm sure you're going to share this with all your friends. Okay, it's like Caesar's Gallic Wars. In that, how many of you are really interested in Caesar's Gallic Wars? Okay, we got one Gallic War. You know where Gaul is? I'm just paying you. It's France. But it's Gaul. That's used to call Gaul. That's where all the barbarians were. So Caesar goes up. He just cleans house. He whips those folks. Okay, there's a book. He wrote a book about Caesar's Gallic Wars, and it was written in 50 BC, 50 years before Christ. It's written, we classify that as old book, okay? It's written in 50 BC, and we have nine copies of that, and people consider it legitimate. We have nine copies of that book. And the oldest copies is 900 years after the event. 900 years, so 950 years after 50 BC, we have the copy. So he wrote it in 50 BC, so you write it, paper wears out and stuff like that, and so you can't, they keep copying over. And so the oldest copies we have are 900 AD. So they're 900 years, the copy is 900 years after the event. So, and now that's typical. That's not, in fact, that's a book that's more documented than other ancient books, okay? And so, but they consider that legitimate. All right? Got the point there? In the Old Testament, very fascinating, in the Old Testament, we have copies of the Old Testament that go back. Now, a copy, the original paper it was written on, okay? I mean, you think, and it wasn't papers, papyrus. See, I knew it. See, it was, and we have some that are written that are as old as 300 B.C. Can you believe that? We have some copies that are as old as 300 B.C. And we have, And we have some, and we have multitudes of copies that are 100 B.C. You ever heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? See, that's right, they're 100 B.C. And then some of those are 300 B.C. That's the actual paper. Now, you know what that tells you? That you had copies of the Old Testament go back some to 300 B.C., but a lot more at 100 B.C. Jesus, when he came along, when he quotes the scripture, that's what he's quoting. We have copies of what he quoted. It's 300 B.C. Jesus came after 100 B.C. So he quotes scripture all the way through the New Testament. Well, we have copies of what he was quoting. And what he said matches up with what they said. So, I mean, therefore, Jesus confirms the Old Testament. So that should be everybody, you know, you should be encouraged by that. And then, so, and then we have the New Testament, the New Testament. The New Testament was written, was written after Jesus died, okay? The New, you know, it's, I think it's so interesting. Jesus never wrote any books. He didn't write nothing. He didn't. Now, his followers did. He did. He's talked to them. But anyway, the New Testament, we have the New Testament written, and the New Testament was written by people who knew Jesus. So that's why. So we know who the authors were because the people who knew Jesus. When you look and go through the New Testament, all those people knew Jesus. They met Jesus. And the early church fathers and everything confirmed that, and that the whole history confirms that they knew Jesus. Now, the exception, there's the exception. And you know what one exception was? Luke. The one we're studying. He didn't know Jesus personally. Luke and Acts. So Luke wrote the book of Luke and book of Acts. Okay? So he didn't know Jesus. But Paul met Jesus, you know, and he gave his testimony. He met him on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared to him, changed his whole life. He stopped persecuting the church, and he started promoting the church. And Luke traveled with Paul. So Luke traveled with Paul, and he's traveling with Paul, and he says, and that's how he starts out. Luke said, man, this is stuff is happening. I'm seeing stuff happen. Paul, I'm seeing all this stuff happen. And he has this friend. His friend's name, Theophilus. He said, hey, Theophilus, you won't believe what's happening. I'm going to give you an orderly account. That's where we get Luke. But he's traveling with Paul, who knew Jesus, and the things are happening right after Jesus' crucifixion. So as the church is growing and everything about church, Luke is writing all about it. So that's where we get Luke and Acts, okay? So that's two books. That's two books that didn't actually know Jesus. The other is Hebrews. Not sure who the author is, but everything, all the evidence in Hebrews, and we spent a year in Hebrews, you know. I think we spent longer than that in Hebrews, you know. It is so tied into the Old Testament, so tied into the New Testament, and so confirmed in all through Scriptures and the early church fathers. There's no question that Hebrews is inspired, you know, and everybody looks at it that way, even though we're not sure who wrote it. Now, so you have this, these incredible documents, these historical documents. Now, these documents were written in a period. Now, Jesus, I'm around the numbers, Jesus died in about 3 AD, crucified, maybe 33 AD, you know. Anyway, about that time. All these letters that were written that we have in the New Testament were written from 50 to 70 AD. They were written in that 20-year period, from 50 to 70 A.D. Jesus died like in 30. So just in 20 years, we're starting getting these letters. Okay? So it's real close to the event, real close to the event. So all these letters are written between 50 and 70 A.D., except Revelations. And they think that John wrote that later, about 90 A.D., as an old man. So that Revelations came later. 90 A.D. So there's a time frame for the New Testament, Now, as I have just said, we got Caesar and his Gallic Wars, and y'all are so happy you have that information, okay? And so we see that he had nine copies. We had nine copies, and they were 900 years after the fact. See, Jesus's are like 20 years after the fact, 20 to 30, 40 years. See, they're just 20 years after the fact. Now, comparatively, looking at Caesar's Gallic Wars and other ancient writings, in comparison, the historical evidence for the New Testament is overwhelming. Okay? It's overwhelming. We have, are you ready for this? We have 25,000 ancient copies. 25,000. 5,000 complete biblical text. I mean, good grief. The earliest copy, this is on the original paper, like paper wears out, or on the, skins or whatever they wrote it on, the original, some of them go back to 130 AD. Within 100 years of Jesus' death. I mean, we've been living in the country 150 years. Okay, I mean, within 100 years, we have copies. We have it's written on. Go back to 130 AD. And a multitude of those before 300 AD, when the church came together. Now, here's a little thing, too. And this is a little note you keep, because, people attack the scripture. No, you're just getting all this stuff, da, da, da. And, they're faking stuff. And so, but you have all these copies of before 300 AD, which is close. I mean that's within 250 years of when all these things were written. Well, what happened? That period of time, there wasn't an organized church. And so these things were written out, and they'd write them to a city, and they'd copy them down, and they knew what they were. So they had the Old Testament. Jews, God bless the Jews. Had the Old Testament, okay? And now you had these letters written around. And in fact, one of Paul's letters, he says, now you've got this letter, be sure to share this letter with the town next to you. He actually says that, all right? So these people were being persecuted. They were being persecuted for being Christians, okay? They were being persecuted for standing of the faith. And so they protected all these things. They protected, and they went underground, and they protected all these things, and they would keep it just exactly the way the Lord wrote it. And they would meet, and they compare these letters because they knew what they were. They were persecuted, and so they weren't in there flaunting and making, crazy things, because they were holding on to what they had. And they knew it was the Word of God, and they were dying for it. They were being martyred for it, So they're keeping. So there was intensity to keep this New Testament pure. Now, so here you got your 25,000 ancient copies. Now, what we have today is we have had scholars. And by the way, you ever been to the Museum of the Bible? You ought to go in D.C. I don't know how they pulled that off. But they did. It's right there in the middle of D.C., Museum of the Bible. It's fascinating. It's just fascinating. You need to go and look at that. And so, but what you have over the history is that you have scholars after scholars after scholars, and they have gotten all of these documents, different places, together, examined them, compared them, and because they're copied, and gone through them, to see how they are all fit together and unified, and based on all these scholars putting all this stuff together, and I'm simplifying it, they come out and they have given us a Bible. They have given us the Bible. The scholarly work of comparing all these documents have now come together in the Bible we hold in our hands. That is just to say, the Bible we hold in our hand is the trustworthy, very words of God. Amen? So here we're, and so what, and this is important because the document we have is important. The Bible we have is important, all right? And when Jesus was resurrected and he meets his disciples, he goes, it's like the scripture said. It's like the scripture said. It's like this. He points to the, it's important to him. It's important. When he was tempted by Satan, Jesus could have, a year ago, we went through where Jesus was tempted by Satan, turn this rock to bread. What could have Jesus done? My heart, I would have just, boom, thump him in the nose, like that, just send him rolling down the hill, like that. Jesus didn't, you think Jesus could have done that? Yeah. But what did Jesus do? Satan goes, turn these rocks to bread. And he goes, Jesus goes, what? It is written. He uses scripture. You see what I'm saying? He uses the scripture. And he's telling us, use the scripture. You got it. I just wish Jesus would talk to me. Open your Bible. Open your Bible. He's trying to talk to you. He says, Satan. But Satan is attacking me and I don't know what to do. It is written. It is written. You see what I'm saying? And that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. So we need to look and grasp the depth of what Jesus is telling us and the depth and the power of the scripture. And the scripture's being attacked. Of course it's being attacked. What one being in this entire universe would want to attack the scriptures? Satan. The attacks on the Bible are demonic. Demonic. Okay? So I just want you to know that. So we have an incredible thing when we have the Word of God. Have the Word of God. Now we'll look at these verses. Here's what Jesus said. We want to think about this. Jesus appears to his disciples after his resurrection, and he proclaims the truth of the scriptures, and the scriptures speak of Jesus. All right, there we go. The Old Testament's going. They speak of Jesus all the way through as the Savior. And oh man, we could just go on for hours about that. So let me just read through this scripture again. And just from Luke 24 to 45 to 47. Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written. I mean, that's the same thing he said to Satan. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. So we get the power of what he's saying about the scriptures. Now, I want to touch, and again, we're going to, if you notice the title of the message, Preach the Word. We're going to focus on the scriptures and the importance of the word because Jesus did. I mean, that's what he talked about after he's resurrected. See, the word. So I want us to look at that so we can really grasp the importance of the word of God. Now, we have the Apostle Paul. And remember, Luke was tagging along with the Apostle Paul. He's tagging along. It's in the scriptures. It's proof. You can see that. He's tagging. Well, here Paul, in the last letter he writes, he makes a statement. And what most people agree this is the last letter that Paul wrote. And it's in 2 Timothy. And what he does, Paul proclaims the inspiration of the scripture. It's his last book. And he proclaims it the inspiration of the scripture. See, 2 Timothy 3:16. He says, all scripture is breathed out by God. It's just like he just went, whew. All scripture is breathed out by God. So when you hold it, it's like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He's telling us something, you know. You know, I love these. I don't even want to go there. But this guy said, well, I don't know if God meant that. Who are you? Who are you? You know, I mean, did you let him breathe on you? I don't. Be careful. Be careful with that. So what we have here, the Bible is God-breathed, and I want to just think about that. What does that mean? What does that mean, Brian? As we look at the majesty of the breathed-out word, then we can just open it up and say, God, breathe on me. Amen? Open it. Oh, God. Oh, I'm going to read it. No. Oh, and they say, God, breathe on me. Jesus opened their mind so they could understand the scripture. Jesus, oh, dear God, breathe on me. Now I want us to grasp this and how God works. And you know that the whole creation was created, you know how? God breathed it out. That's what he did. I mean, when God breathes something out, stuff happens. Amen? Look what it says in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now, I always like to read this. People say, how did everything start? This verse tells us. Just read it. It says, in the beginning, what's the next word? That's how it started. In the beginning, God was in the beginning. Well, there's two little particles, and they float around. They hit each other, and then they rolled around, and this happened. And no, in the beginning, there was nothing. And no two little particles will. There was nothing. Oh, it's a heat wave. Where'd a heat wave? I know. No, it's something blew up. Where'd it come from that blew up? You got to have it to blow up. Where'd it come from? Because in the beginning, it was nothing but God. In the beginning, God. And he breathed out. He created heaven and earth like that. You know, you think, yeah, but that's neat, you know? I mean, that's just, gosh, he just breathed out, boom. And again, he shows us how he did it. And I want to have the next, you're going to love this slide, the best slide I ever had. It's so short. In the beginning, there's nothing but God, and God speaks and breathes out and creates from nothing. God breathes out and speaks and creates from nothing. Oh, this ain't going to work out. There's nothing here. You need me, don't you? Because I need nothing, and I create something. See? There's one verse I love. He called those things that are not as though they were. That's in Romans. Called the things that are not as though they were. It's like, I got a lot of nots in my life. I need some were in my life. You know? Amen. So, but here it is. Love this. Abera says, would you please keep all your overheads this short? Okay? But what did he do? How did he create the universe? Oh, God, tell me. We want to write volumes of books and how you create a universe. He goes, and he said. He said it. That's all he did. He just said it. Okay? Now, we don't need a lot of books. He's like, oh, my gosh, he said it. And he created everything. Now, so what we have is God speaking out. There's nothing. And he speaks out, and there's something. The beginning of all eternity and what it is spirit. The physical had to be. Now, all science will agree with this. Physical stuff has to be created. It didn't just appear. They tell you that. Okay. But then they say, how did it get here? And then they, well, it was just floating around and met there, and then boom, there was something. No, that disagrees with everything you said. So have something. How did this chair get here? Okay, well, this one I drug in here. Okay, but somebody made this thing. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So the physical, the spiritual is greater than the physical. He calls those things that are not as though they were. He speaks it. He speaks it. He brings it into place. Amen? That's how the universe came. Well, he can solve my problem. He created the sun, moon, and earth. I guess you're tougher than all three. You see what I'm saying? He said, no, I can do this. I can do this. So here's the picture of who we have. And this is the God that's at work. And now what he does is he speaks to mankind. He gives us the Bible. He speaks. Well, how does he do that? I mean, he said, well, the word, God's word speaks forth life and creates. And through his chosen men, he continued to speak. King David was a prophet. Now, here's some few verses that shows you how he did it. Here's how King David, he spoke to King David. Look what King David said in 2 Samuel 23:2. And just an example. You wonder, how did this happen? King David said, the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue. See, he came in, spoke through David. He came in, spoke through David. See? So David's word became a breathed out word. Breathed out word. He spoke by David, okay? And that's how he created the Bible. Books of Moses. You know what he said? Everything is written in the law of Moses. Do you know what the Jews consider the law of Moses? And these are all Jews he is talking to. Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Spoke it. So he spoke it. So that's why the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. The word is on my tongue. Now, I'm going to jump to Jeremiah because it gives Jeremiah a little more time here. And I love Jeremiah. Jeremiah reminds me of me. He really does because he complains all the time. He just complains all the time. And God just keeps using him. But he just whines. I mean, it just. And so he's telling Jeremiah, you're going to be my prophet. And no, I don't want to. You know, he's going to be a prophet. But here's what he says so we understand how we get the Bible. In Jeremiah 1:7, look at Jeremiah 1:7. We have an overhead here. The Lord said to me, Jeremiah's talking. The Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Now, there's a place in Jeremiah, I love this, and he writes, and God says, listen, you write it to the king. So he's writing, he's got this guy, and he's dictating. It actually tells you this. He's rolling dictate. He takes it to the king. The king reads it. He says, I don't believe none of this. He burns it up. He burns his whole scroll up. I mean, come on, guy. I mean, it's like, well, I don't think that's good. So he burns it all. And Jeremiah, they come out and says, I took the scroll of the king. He burned it up. He says, God, grief. And he said, I mean, I don't know how you say good grief in Hebrew, but he's a good grief. And he says, so he wrote another one. He said, okay, now we got to repeat this. God told me, and he wrote another one because he burned another one up. That's how we got the Bible. See, here's, look in Jeremiah 1:9. Jeremiah said in 1:9, then the Lord put out his hand. He touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Amen. So, and you can go through all the Old Testament, it says the same things. So God spoke to these people. Now what happened, the Jews collected all these things because these prophets would speak, and the short-term events, it happened. The things were happening. They go, man, these guys are dead on. So all this short-term, then they'd speak far, and oh man, this stuff is happening in the far. They say, oh, this is happening, this, and these people are going to come, and there's a Messiah coming also in the future, so you hold on. And so they saved this stuff because they knew these guys were prophets, and they kept them, and they were meticulous about it. They reverenced. They had such a process to go through to recopy the thing. Like they'd write a line and get down and pray, then write another line. They'd just dedicate their whole life. And that's where you go, and you've got copies that go back to 100 BC and to 300 BC. And that's what we have in the Old Testament. But he spoke through those people. So we have a great, I mean, what is God? Have you said, well, God, what are you doing? God, help me. Come on, say there's somebody besides me that does this. Huh? Just, okay? And God's going, read it. Read it. I love Augustine, Lord spoke to St. Augustine. He was an early church father later on, 300 BC, 300 AD or something. I love how he got called to the Lord. And they had a Bible by then. And he said the Lord spoke to him. You know what he said? I mean, I just love this. He goes, pick it up and read it. That was, that God speak to me. Pick it. He tells me that all the time. God speak. Pick it up and read it. How about a shorter version? Yeah, I mean, gosh. Okay, so you have the power, the authority of the Old Testament. Now, so here you got Peter and Paul and John, Jude, and Luke, and so they're writing the New Testament, and all these things are being fulfilled. They believe the Old Testament, and they see all these things are fulfilled, because Jesus has told them, said, look, this tells it, look here, and they go, oh my God, he just rose from the dead, and he's saying, read this thing, it's all true. And so they're paying attention. Now, what we have in the New Testament, in these letters, in the New Testament, there's a couple of places I want to read, where Peter confirms, this is the Apostle Peter, confirms that God spoke through the prophets and reveals that God continues to speak through the apostles, okay? He said, gosh, he spoke through the prophets, now he's continuing to speak through these apostles, and God's telling them stuff, and they're passing on about the church, the fulfillment, and the church, the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, so it's built on it, it's consistent. It's fulfillment, all right? So they have to be studied together. Now, so here's what Peter says. Look at 2 Peter 1:2. 2 Peter 1:2. I have my overhead here. So Peter's telling the folks, for no prophecy, okay, now we're talking God speaking through this, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of a man. All this I think God told me. I said, well, go do it. I ain't going with you. You know, you're thinking up stuff. No, that wasn't produced by the will of a man. See, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of a man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's where we got the New Testament. That's where we got the Old Testament. That's where we got the New Testament. They were carried along. They spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's something that is fascinating. Now, here's Peter, okay, Apostle Peter, okay? I mean, there's nobody going to deny that Peter was an apostle and spoke for the Lord. You know what Peter does? I just love it. Peter calls out Paul and confirms Paul's letters as Scripture. Peter says, Paul writes Scripture. Isn't that cool? I mean, it's like, isn't that fascinating? Now, and this is something, a lot of times this is skipped over, but it is fascinating because Peter recognized that the letters Paul was writing was Scripture. He recognized it was from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, and he recognized it as Scripture. Amen? Now look at this, 2 Peter 3:15 through 16, and I kind of truncated it for the overhead. But listen to what he said here when Peter is talking. And he says, our beloved brother Paul. Okay, he knows the guy. Our beloved brother Paul also wrote you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters, which we have, as he does in all his letters, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. As they do the other scriptures. Paul's scriptures and the other scriptures. He recognized Paul's writings as scripture. From the very beginning, he said, scriptures, and people twist it just like they do the other scriptures. Amen? Now, is that encouraging? What we have in our hand. I have to, you ladies are doing, you know, your ladies study with those three ladies, Kay Arthur, Beth Moore, Priscilla Shire. Neat ladies. But I was watching Tony Evans. Tony Evans is Priscilla Shire's father. Okay. So I was watching Tony Evans, and I just flipped on. I just saw him. I flipped on. Watch. And I just love it. I mean, some guys, you know, just he says, the world has a way of doing things. And the Bible has a way of doing things. And the world is wrong. I tell you what. I just loved it. And that's what it is. I mean, well, golly, the world is going, oh, I can't believe it. And they're trying to do. They're wrong. They are wrong. I mean, if everybody's just jumping off a cliff and everybody's jumping off a cliff, and they, you know, they'll give you $10 you jump off kids. You know, they'll raise your kids for 5 years if you jump off a cliff. You know, you go, well, I guess maybe I should jump off a cliff, and they got all these benefits. You go, no, these people are nuts. You know, they're crazy. No, I know the truth. I feel sorry for these people, but I don't have to go run jump off a cliff with them. See? But if you love me, you'll go with me halfway. Nah, I'm not even going halfway with you. You know, you understand the truth. You understand the truth. And that's what God's given. He's given us the truth. And our hearts should go out to these people, and it should break for these people. They're saying all these crazy things because it's not right. And when God's going to show up, he goes, it's not right. That's what he's going to say. So we need to just, as believers, we have the truth. Therefore, we should have confidence. We know. And so that's for our protection. And so we stand in power and the grace of God. And the outside world that doesn't know Jesus, we don't have to condemn them or put rules on them because they don't know Christ. You don't have to condemn or put rules on them. In fact, that's a big mistake. But, you know what you can do? We can breathe God's word on them. See, we can breathe God's word on them. We can cover them with God's breath. See? You're bad and you're going to hell. I don't think it's covering with a lot of God's breath. Maybe true, but it's not covering them with a lot of breath, all right? So, but we have the capacity, just as the Old Testament prophets did and everything, when they speak out, we speak out the words of God, we can cover them with God's love and God's breath, okay? And so when we cover them with God's breath, which penetrates the heart and mind, then God's breath changes their heart, all right? So what can they receive? What do they need to receive to even comprehend what's going on? Well, that's bad, and you shouldn't have done that, and this is wrong, shouldn't have. Let me tell you all the reasons you shouldn't do this, and God said you're really bad. And you know, I mean, it's like out of somebody's breath, but I don't know what it is, you know? So what breath would you breathe onto somebody? What breath would penetrate? What breath? And you say, try John 3:16. God loves you. He gave his only son for you, that you not perish. Well, what about that? I don't know. But I know God loves you. He loves you. Let God take care of that. I have my own issues. God loves you. He gave his only son for you. You're forgiven, washed clean, and he wants relationship with you. Well, what about them? Won't you let God take care of that? Can you take care of that? And you just keep going. Because until they accept God's love, they can't deal with anything else. They're going to just keep jumping off the cliff. And they'll be mad at you in the process. You see? You just made everybody mad. All right? They don't have anything idea. But God loves you. And you might throw in the resurrection. You know, he's alive. He's in heaven. He didn't die. How many lost people that people don't know Jesus would like to know, hey, you're not going to die? Really? That's what the Bible says. Oh, you shed the body and go be with the Lord, you know? Man, I've been to the doctor 3 times this week. I'm about ready to shed this sucker. I mean, it's like, gosh, this thing wearing out. You know? See, what he said, no, you have a hope, then you have a hope. You see what I'm saying? You breathe fresh. God loves you. Paid the penalty for your sins. You're forgiven. Love him back. Amen? He's alive. So breathe on them goodness. Now, and if you got a question, open up. Now, I'm opening up this iPad, but I have my Bible in it. Okay. So you open up the Bible. You say, God, I don't know what to do. I just pull my hair. You open the Bible and you start reading. He'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. He'll show you. These are the very words of God. This is the very, well, I don't believe it's the word. Fine. I bet you don't know Jesus either. Now, you probably shouldn't say that. But just keep reading it. He'll speak to you. He'll show you. He'll speak to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Why don't we stand up and we'll sing a praise to Jesus. Hope you're encouraged to read your Bible. I'm hoping you're encouraged to open your Bible and let God breathe on you. Amen? Just change the mindset a little bit. I'm going to open the Bible and let God breathe on me. You don't have to read 10 chapters. Read 2 verses. I mean, just 5 minutes. You know, that's my challenge, everybody. Just read it 5 minutes, okay? Every day. Breathe. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that many people have just been saved by reading your Word, Lord, because the Word is definitely about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we give thanks to you. Thank you that you paid the penalty for our sin. We praise your holy name in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.